Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is truly a day that God has made. We're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. God is pleased with each and every one of you who take time out of your busy schedule to come explore the Word of God together in fellowship one with another. The body of Christ, the household of faith, coming together to give God praise, honor, and glory, and learn of him that we may grow in his grace and his knowledge. I thank each and every one of you for calling in tonight, and I thank you that God has brought you this way, and I thank God that he allowed me to go before him. I thank y'all, because without y'all, there would be no program. And without God, there would be no us. Well, tonight, many things in the world is still going on. And from last Wednesday, even more evil and terror and destruction and more coronavirus cases and more people getting sick. And now the children is being placed in school and they're getting sick, and the beat goes on. But God wants us to know that he's right here. None of this is taking him by surprise. And he don't make mistakes. And that's what encouraged me with the lesson tonight. I say that the title of the lesson is, we are in a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. We are coming out of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 5. You got to recognize it, y'all. It's real. And it appears that there's nothing we could do about it. Do anything about the circumstances around the world. But you could deal with the circumstances in your life. It's never what come your way, but who you go through it with. Be encouraged. God's got you. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Trust him. Patiently wait on him, and he will see you through. As always, I'm going to play a song tonight. And when I finish playing the song, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And we're going to lift our petitions up to God. Because he said, bring all of your cares to me, for I care for you. So I'm going to play the song right now. The title of the song is Through It All. You know, listen to it. Through all that we are going through. Through it all.
Life's thrown many punches, trying hard to knock me out. It's hard, but I'm fighting. Can't let my faith waver now. Change don't always feel good. Every mountain high, every valley low. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Do it all.
And that was a song that reminds us that through it all, whatever we've gone through, whatever we have gone through, and whatever we got to go through it all, God is with us. Through it all, we have the victory. You got to believe it. You got to trust it. You got to hold on to it, and it'll see you through. Well, at this time, it's time to go to the throne of grace. And every day and every time we on the line, I open up the prayer line and ask anybody who would like to pray. God is extending this opportunity to the body of Christ. Anyone who would like to pray, you could press the one button and I'll open the mic and you could pray. This is an opportunity being extended from God. Hallelujah. This is an opportunity. Anyone who would love to pray, just press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. Call in number is 504-237. Your mic is open.
Hi. Let us go to the throne. Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we come at this hour in the night, dear God, and we say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for letting us come. Thank you, dear God, for bringing us to this point at this very time. Thank you, dear God, for bringing us down through this day to this very hour. We thank you, dear God, that you woke us up this morning and started us on our way. We thank you, dear God, that you didn't leave us nor forsake us at that hour, but you continue to keep us, God. And as we come together tonight, dear God, touching and agreeing in the name of Jesus, we ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would continue to bless us. And we thank you for the blessings that you've given unto us thus far. We ask, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you would forgive us of our sins and transgressions. We know, dear God, that when we sin, it's not against man, but it is against thee. We're asking for your forgiveness. As we go to the throne, we ask that you would hear our petition. Our petition tonight, dear God, is that you would allow us to come together in the word so that we can study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Dear God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would give us the ear of the learned. We ask, oh God, that you would allow us to hear what the Spirit has to say to each one of us, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts, dear God, and tell us what it is that you want us to know and to do in your word. We don't want to be just hearers of your word, dear God. We want to be doers. And dear God, once we've heard what your word says for us to go out and do, allow us to be disciples, dear God, to let men, women, boys, and girls know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and share your word. We ask also, dear God, that you would bless everyone on this line. Bless their homes, make them homes of peace and prayer. Bless, dear God, their families, dear God. Bless the entire nation, dear God. And last but not least, dear God, the woman of God who will stand in John's shoes and proclaim the word of God, dear God. Give her the strength, stamina, wisdom, and the endurance to proclaim your word. And we'll be careful to hear what the Spirit has to say. For it's all done in the sweet, wonderful, matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen and praise God.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was Minister Shirley Earls. I thank God for her calling and bringing us to the throne of grace in prayer. Glory be to God. And I thank you, woman of God. Thank you. At this time, we're going to go into our lesson. You know, every week we have a background. And since I was talking about a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare, I've decided to give us a taste or some information about sin and about flesh and about the spirit. You know, if you really look at sin and you look at what the people in the Bible said, if you go to the book of Psalms, David said in Psalms 51 and 5, he says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Not after he was born, he said, but when he was conceived. You see, every human being sins. The Bible says those who say they sin not is a lie and the truth ain't in them. You see, sin is often defined as missing the mark. It is a failure to live up to God's requirements. We sin because we have a sin nature. You see, every human being possesses that sin nature, a corrupt nature that we inherited from Adam. Our sin nature separated us from God. The result of one man's trespass brought condemnation on all. You see, Christians have two natures, and they at work in our beings at all times. You see, one is the old sin nature, and the other is the new nature controlled by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. But, you see, these two natures are constantly at war with each other. Constantly. All the time. Yes, they are. You see, Paul explains that despite his best intentions, and y'all know Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books in the Bible, 13 epistles, the one that Jesus met on the Damascus Road and changed his mind. And not only that, because he wasn't versed in the things of God because of Judaism, Jesus himself taught him. So he came packing, y'all. But Paul explains that despite his best intentions, he is still influenced by his sin nature. So I ask you today, what about us? You see, I have the desire, this is Paul talking, y'all. He said, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. You could check it out in Romans 7, verses 18 and 19. And I come to tell you, while our two natures are constantly in conflict, it is not the sin nature that will ultimately control the Christian. You see, the thoughts going to come in our minds. Satan's going to be prompting our sin nature is yearning for the things of the flesh. But it's not going to control you. You see, because part of the sanctification process involves dying to the old nature. The Christian will sin, but the Christian will not continue to unrestraint and live in sin. You, however, are controlled not by your sin nature, but by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God lives in you, now you know you got to be saved to have the Spirit. And I'm just going to throw this in for lanyard. Those who never truly, truly accepted Christ as their Savior, you might have joined church because your mama told you to join, but you didn't have the love for God in your heart. The ones who said it with no meaning or no value are the ones who never really said it, and those who might have said it and didn't mean it. You got to watch out. Because you see, if you, you know, are a Christian, a true Christian, you are led by the Spirit of God who lives in you. Because once you accept Christ with your whole heart, come on, y'all, and you call him your Lord, Savior, and Master, and you tell him you need a Savior because you realize you can't save yourself, and you accept him, you believe, and you confess with your mouth, then you become saved and the Holy Spirit come and live inside of you. So I ask everybody to examine themselves, because you know so many people is trying to fake it till they make it. And that's why God said in his word, when they came and they was coming up to God and they say, God, I prophesied in your name and I witnessed in your name. Some people might say, I fed the hungry. He's going to say, oh, yeah. They going to say, oh, I did this and that. He said, get from by me because I never knew you, because you didn't accept the Son. While our two masters, two natures are constantly in conflict, it is not the sin nature that's got a hold on you, y'all. The Christian is led by the Spirit. So if you cooperate with the Spirit, the Bible said there's no temptation that's going to come to you that is not common to man. But he said, I'll always give you a way to escape. See, sin in the Christian life will follow. It's going to be followed by remorse and repentance. You see, at Christ, second coming, when the believer's body is glorified, the sin nature will be destroyed once and for all. But I need to tell you this today. You know, I think they have some people that walk around and they think they're so holy and they got it going on and they got it so much together that they have crucified their sin nature in their body right here on earth. I want to let you know that the flesh, that where the sin dwells, ain't taking no shots. Flesh on your body do what flesh does. No matter how holy you get. How you think they say every time I go to another level, there's another devil. My flesh in me is operating the same as the man on the street. Doing anything and everything he want to do, leaning to his own understanding. Might have been had his mind turned over to a reprobate mind. His flesh is doing the same thing my flesh is, trying to get me to accept the perceptions of Satan. You see, when I just told y'all this, that at his Jesus' second coming, we're going to get a glorified body. Watch this. And when that happens, our sin nature will be destroyed once and for all. So there's going to always be a spiritual battle. But the trick is to know the trick of the enemy and then to grow in grace and then listen to the Holy Spirit more and you'll sin less. But until then, we are told to resist the sin nature temptation. You got to remember God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we could bear. And we are, as I said earlier, he'll provide a way so that we can stand up under it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The point I'm trying to make today is sin dwells in the flesh. The flesh, as designed by the Bible, is the flesh of the eyes, the world is designed, and the definition of the world is the flesh of the eye, the flesh of lust, and the pride of life. I'm not sure I got that exactly right as much as I've said it. But I'm a come back because the Holy Ghost is going to give it to me. But what I'm saying is that's what they designed. That's the definition of the word flesh in the Bible. The flesh of the eye, the flesh of the I'm going to come back. All right? But I pray y'all got it. That's what flesh is described as the things of the world, materialistic things, and people wanting this and lust and sex and everything. You see, the battle is between your spirit and your flesh. You see, your flesh is craving for fleshly things, which is worldly things. Anything worldly is dealing with the flesh. But you see, the spirit is looking for the things of God. You see, the spirit of God, hallelujah, the spirit of God wants the things of God, and the flesh wants the things of the flesh, and that's where the battle is. So when we look at this, we have to realize flesh is going to do what flesh does. And everybody is going to make mistakes and sin. And you can't get holy enough to kill your sin nature. Your sin nature dwells in your flesh. And if you kill your flesh, you cannot live. You cannot live. So keep in mind, that it's real. And you got to be on your A game. You got to recognize Satan when he comes trying to get you to do what he wants you to do. So you're going to see how the lesson is going to tie back to our background, you know, that was said. So if you got your Bibles, please go to 2 Corinthians 10:3. Please go there. You're in Bible study. I pray you have your Bibles. I pray you have your Bibles with you. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 3rd verse. Now watch this. The scripture says, verse 3, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Even though we walk in the flesh, our body is wrapped with flesh. And flesh is where sin dwells, but we do not war after the flesh. What that's telling us is that, and I want to give you that definition that I wasn't coming. I told you the Holy Ghost gonna always bring it to your memory, and I think I probably said it right. But it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's the biblical definition for the world. But you know, the Bible told us we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And I come to tell you, we're in the kingdom of God here on earth. And it's not a place. It's not per se a place like uptown or downtown or another nation, country. It's a way of living. It's a moral state that you operate here on earth. You walk with pride. You walk praising God. You walk helping one another. You see, because that's where the body of Christ lives, in God's kingdom on earth, in the realm of God's kingdom on earth. And the body of Christ is all of us. And what we should be doing is kingdom building. Recognize that you're a citizen in the kingdom of God, and try to do the things that God expects us to do. Could you imagine how beautiful it would be if all the Christians living in the kingdom of God on earth would do their part, if each one would just do a little, how we would really be peculiar people that has been set apart. But everybody want to do their own thing, even in the kingdom of God. Better check yourself. You see, the scripture said, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The scripture is saying that even though we live in this body made of flesh, we do not fight according to world or human standards. You see, that's why they say we do not war after the flesh. the scripture is letting us know that the war is going on, and the war is between our flesh and our spirit. And as long as we live in a body, which is our flesh, the flesh will crave fleshly things. Sin dwells in the flesh, but the spirit will yearn for the things of God that are spiritual. This war is actively taking place every second of our lives. And you should know that the war is fought in the boardrooms of our minds. It's in our mind, y'all. You see, our mind is what directs and controls us. Our mind is either talking us to do something, or talking us out of doing something. Y'all got that? In your mind, the thoughts and everything you put in your mind is either talking you into doing something or talking you out of doing something. You see, Proverbs 23:7 says, so a man thinketh, so is he. We are what we think. The way we think can either help us or hurt us. We cannot allow our thoughts to be governed by Satan, a man's standard, which is the world's standard, because then we would only be concerned with the desires of the flesh, only satisfying our want appetite. And if we do something like that, I come to tell you tonight, you're going to certainly lose the war. You see, Satan can only operate in your mind. He messes with your thoughts and tries to control your action to tarnish your character. Come on, y'all. Remember, Satan's powers are limited, and he can only do what God allows him to do. You remember Job? Every time God got ready to do something else with Job, he had to go and ask God first. So if Satan had to ask God about Job, he has to ask God about you. And look at this. If Satan could do more than just playing tricks in our minds, he most certainly would have. You know, when we was out there in the street doing things we ain't had no business, we was being led by the world. It wasn't of the spirit, but God sustained us and brought us out. And if Satan couldn't, I say all the time, Satan, if you couldn't get me back then, you can't get me now. So I understand his power is limited. Come on, y'all. But even though his power is limited, it's still very dangerous. Like the old people used to tell us, a ghost can't do you nothing, but it'll make you kill yourself running out of there. You see, if Satan could kill us, we would be dead long time ago. Satan only plants the thoughts and hope that we receive it and allow it. Come on, y'all. That we receive it and allow it to become our perception. And before you know it, you're accepting it as your reality. Satan has a way of making everything that is good look bad and everything that is bad look good. Look all around the world we live in today. Do you see how anything goes? And people are accepting it more and more each day. You see, we got to remember, we are the chosen people of God. And we should be transforming the world to the things of God. Didn't God tell us once we accepted his son and we became peculiar people and he allowed his spirit to live in us, and we should let our light so shine that men can see the good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. God wants the Christians to pull the unsaved people in, but look like the unsaved people is pulling the saved people out. Because it appears that the word is conforming us to its standards. Look in the church houses. I'm talking about the church houses all around the world. I'm talking about that church house that God now shut the door on. giving us the opportunity to come get right church so we could go home. And y'all know that's the church building, and we are the church. And God is working in us and through us as we social distance and sit down and all the time on our hand, we have more time for him. And I'm not saying God, I don't know if God orchestrated the pandemic. But one thing I know, if he didn't orchestrate it, he had to allow it. And in his allowing it, God in his awesome wisdom always know how to get his glory out of every situation. No matter what the devil has ever set up for the bad, God has the power because he's sovereign to turn it around for the good. You see, Satan is taking this war seriously, and he's doing everything in his limited power to win the war. Satan know how the story ends, but he's not willing to give up. Because, you see, sometimes he come out in the morning and they have a Christian that's straddling the fence, and he put a perception in their head, and they begin to do what he want them to do. So every now and then he get a hit. So he believed if he could keep on doing it and get enough hits, maybe he could change God's mind. But that's not going to happen, because we know how the story ends. Hallelujah. Victory is ours. So why we cannot rest and do what God asks us to do in this race when we know victory is at the end of the tunnel? All you got to do is keep pressing. Don't give up. Hold on to the confession of your faith. You know, he believes he could win. If we keep our minds stayed on Jesus, victory is ours. Satan is our enemy and a thief, because John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and have life more abundantly. Flesh in and of, I got to tell y'all this. You see, flesh in and of itself is not the problem. God allow us to be wrapped in flesh to live on this, in this earth. But what we allow our flesh to be part of becomes the problem. Did y'all get that? Flesh in and of itself is not the problem, but what we allow our flesh to be a part of. We must learn to control our minds, because we will either be doing the things of the flesh or doing the things of the spirit. That's it. You can't serve two masters. Either one you'll hate and one you'll love the other one, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. So a question I ask you today, choose this day, which side are you willing to fight on? Who army are you going to be in? You're going to put on the whole arm of God and stand tall? I threw that in, y'all, talking about a battle. So I ask you to stop straddling the fence, stand up for what's right. Stop compromising your faith by trying to mix the flesh with the spirit. And I encourage you to choose God and win. And if we look at the fourth verse says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, carnal mean fleshly. Carnal mean worldly, fleshly. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can't win with the things that the world gives you, because I'm going to tell you what the world gives you. And people think they're going to get to where they're trying to go with the weapons of the world. You see, carnal, which means earthly, Man's standards are worldly, which means flesh. And we remember sin dwells in the flesh. The weapons of this world. Now, come on, y'all. See what weapons you're using. You know, I just told you about put on the whole armor of God and walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, power, peace, you know, and sound mind and faith and all of these things, goodness, you know. That's the weapon designed for Christians. But the weapons of this world are lies, lust, deception, greed, pride, thinking more of yourself than you should, always ready to do the blame game, gluttony, slothfulness, and anger. And that's just to name a few. Because we could be all night talking about what the world and their deception and what they use to try to get you to accept their perception. You see, using these weapons, you may feel that you have won the battle. How many times you see a liar lie? So he tell one lie, and then he tell another lie. He think he done told a second lie better than he told the first lie. And then he believes that you believe him, so he believes he won. Lies. The blame game. It ain't my fault. Thinking more of yourself. Lust. You know, how much is too much? Greed. When these weapons, when using these weapons, you may feel that you have won the battle. Watch this. But Satan only gives temporary or short-term satisfaction. Then he will leave you stuck out all alone to face the music. How many times people on the street doing what they're doing and they're doing it like they want to do it and they're doing it because they want to do it and they keep doing it and then everything starts turning around on them and they say, well, gotta let them hit rock bottom. See, Satan's going to keep bringing you the well and making you drink and telling you to tell the lies and deception and the lust and do all of that. And then when you hit rock bottom, he say, oh, I got to go get somebody else and try to bring you to the same destruction. You see, once you accept, believe, and confess unto God and accept Jesus as your Savior, he has equipped you with mighty weapons, and they are always available to you. God's got everything you need, but we not studying in his word and know what he got for us. God has given us truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, joy. And he said, a joy I gave it to you, the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. And you see, he gave us the word of God, 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New, your daily instruction for daily living. Any question that you could ever ask or think of, the answer is in the word of God. Then he allowed you to come to him in prayer. Then I talked about he gave you a full armor so you could stand against the wiles of the devil's scheme. Then God turned around and said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm always near. I got your best interest at heart. You could cast all your cares on me because I care for you. And he didn't stop there, y'all. He said, "You, when Adam sinned, you was going to die and go to hell. He said, but I sent my son to die for you. And if you accept my son, you're going to have eternal life. What a mighty God we serve. See, as Christians, we should realize that we are in a war. And we are on the battlefield for the Lord. But we got to start acting like it. Start marching like soldiers. What I told you, Satan don't take no times out. Satan don't take no vacation like Christians take and put their faith and their religion on a shelf so they go do what they want to do. Satan taking this war serious. Look around. The shooting. The pandemic. Don't you know that's not of God because God didn't make diseases. It came in with sin from Satan. All of the debts. the murders, the agony, the homeless. Because of sin and Satan. You see, the word stronghold in this verse is only found in the scriptures in the New Testament. A stronghold is described as a wall or a fortress that has plagued our minds from the beginning of time. Come on, y'all. Building blocks of stupidness. You see, once sin entered into the world, what it say, a wall and a fortress. You know how some people just can't get it? Because he got a wall in his mind. They have a fortress that has been built there block by block by block by block. And they don't even realize how what they have made to be their way of life, how dumb it is. And all of the isms they built up, I don't do it this, and I don't do that, and I don't do that. And not necessarily that, but the way they want to do it. Oh, this is the way we do it. Oh, this is the way I do it. And if you're not careful, you're getting a wall and a stronghold. And a stronghold is anything that has a stronghold on you. It represents a great wall of resistance of the truth. Oh, hallelujah. I got to say that again. A stronghold is anything that has a stronghold on you. It represents a great wall of resistance to the truth. A stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. I was trying to explain it, but, you know, thank you, Holy Ghost, for giving it to me now. What I'm trying to say is a stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern that you done developed and took as your right, but it was based on lies. It was full of deception, doubt, fear, anxiety, and loneliness, just to name a few. How many families got all of these isms in their family, and they cried for all these isms, and it don't add up to a hill of beans? And they'd be missing out. Come on, y'all. Because what they have, they done built it up on lies. You see, deception is one of the primary weapons of the devil. It is the building block that creates the wall. You will never amount to anything, he tell you sometimes. It's a lie. No one will ever love you. Lie. But if you start believing it, you could never be saved, or you were saved, and now you're not saved. That's one of the biggest lies. Strongholds can keep you from being one of God's best. Satan will plant fear and doubt and cause you to be overwhelmed. Don't allow Satan to make you panic. And if you gotta panic, never. Everybody who know me know this is one of my mottos. Never panic until it's time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. And if we look at the last verse, verse 5, it says, cast down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the word of God and bring into captivity every thought unto obedience of God. Everything you get in your mind, bring it to God and do the godly thing. Use your moral compass to operate it. Bring it into captivity. Hold it. And I don't know about you, but plenty of times something come in my mind and I know it ain't right. I say, I don't think so. Now, that works for me sometimes, but it don't work all the time. But I can say that to certain things because I'm just not going to do it. And I'm still trusting God and asking for deliverance and asking that God guide me in other areas that I could be even more like Jesus. You see, a serious stronghold is our imagination. You see, imagination is the act of power of forming mental images of what is not actually present or may never be experienced. I'm going to read it again. A serious stronghold is our imagination. Imagination is the act or power of forming mental images of what is not actually present, but watch this, or may never be experienced. We must ask God to give us the spirit of discernment so we can keep our thoughts focused on the truth and his knowledge. You see, God's knowledge and the word of God provide us evidence that should help us to control our thoughts and imagination. You see, the Hebrew boys, I'll give y'all some examples. You see, the Hebrew boys was about to enter the furnace. They used their imagination based on the evidence of God's power. You see, they knew that God could do anything but fail. And even though they had to go in the furnace and the king told them, look, won't y'all just bow down and let this go? Because, you know, I like y'all dudes. He's saying, you know, we're going to let all this go. They said, no, we're going to trust God. They said, the king told them, how you know God is going to come and rescue you? But look what they said. They used their spiritual weapon of faith and they mixed it with their imagination and they stepped in. Y'all know how the story goes. And if you don't, you could call me up. I'll research it in the Bible. You see, if we look at Adam and Eve, you see, Satan told Eve a lie. She allowed her imagination to get the best of her. Her imagination, your imagination is the act of power of creating mental images of what has never been actually experienced. She could have casted down her imagination, but she didn't. She accepted it as real and good, her imagination from what Satan had told her. So she ate, she gave something to Adam, and the rest is history. I could give you another example. When God told Sarah and Abraham that they would conceive a child, they thought that God was taking too long and allowed their imaginations to play tricks on them and took matters in their own hands. You see, Satan was telling them that it was all right, that God may be lying. He told them, look, you've been waiting so long. And what difference will it make? Well, remember, Ishmael was born of the flesh. And that's where sin dwells. And the promise of God to Sarah and Abraham, which was Isaac, was God's promise. And he was born of the promise. See, God never told Moses or Sarah that he was going to bless any child. He said, I'm going to bless the child from you and Sarah. So when they made Hagar, they allowed Hagar to come into the picture. God said, y'all on your own. How many times God got to tell us that we on our own? Because we do what we want. And that's how we get what we got. You see, we must learn how to wait on God. Trust God. If he said it, believe me, y'all, it's going to come to pass. If your thoughts and your imagination do not line up with the word of God, run from it. Cast it down immediately, because if you allow it to have free space in your head, it will be harder to evict. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because your thoughts now believe that they have squatter's rights. Have you ever allowed your thoughts and imagination to run wild and far that you no longer know who you are? Come on, y'all. How many times you've been tangled up in something so long, and one day you look in the mirror and you say, what is going on? You see, a thought, now this is the thing, too, you got to know. A thought in and of itself is not the problem. It's what you do with the thought that will cause the problem. Thoughts come in that's not good, cast it out. If it's good, act on it. You wake up one moment and morning and say, how did I get here? I'm doing things I never thought I would do. So you might ask the question, why did God give man an imagination? You know, like some people, well, he could have just kept the imagination and it wouldn't be all of this. But watch this. There are only two ways for a human to see things. Physical vision through the eyes or with the imagination. Without imagination, a man would be completely robotic. All human progress has been born out of their imagination to see things differently than they are. Imagination is used for righteousness' sake. It's a good thing. But when you allow your imagination to play tricks on you, it can destroy you. That is why we operate in faith. Because Hebrew 11:1 say now, I'm talking about right now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Without an imagination, as I close tonight, y'all, how could we see God in our minds or read the word of God about the rapture and see Jesus in the air? How could we sit down and think about the pearly gates or the street paved with gold? How would you be able to see the Red Sea divided into two and the children of Israel walking through? How could you imagine the suffering of Christ and then see his resurrected body? Nah. We see that imagination is needed. But don't allow your mind to play tricks on you. And that's our lesson for tonight. Glory be to God. At this time, we could have comments. We could have someone want to add to the lesson. We could have encouragement going on. Anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button. Everybody is welcome. Caller, your number is 504-208-88. Your mic is open.
Thank you, Diane. I wanted to say I enjoyed the teaching and thank you so very much for the lesson. I learned a lot.
Praise God. That's Tamika Ward, my niece. Glory be, and thank you, my baby, for calling in.
You're welcome.
Any other comments, questions? If there's no more to be said, at this time, I'm going to ask Elyria Mackey. Ms. Mackey, if you would like to pray, could you press your one button? Your mic is open.
I enjoyed the word. And that's one
Thank
of my,
you, my
sisters I usually quote, cast the down imagination. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for Minister Diane on tonight, Lord God. We thank you for everyone that's listening in, oh God, whether on the phones, oh God, or on the computers, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for everyone, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, for each family, oh God. God, we pray for the household of faith, Lord. We pray for those that you're calling in, God, because you said in your word you add to the church daily such as to be saved. And God, we thank you in advance, even, Lord God. God, we ask that you put a hedge of protection around our children, oh God, and our children's children, Lord God. As the schools begin to open back up, Lord God, I'm asking that you will shield those that have to go to jobs, Lord. Asking that you continue shielding the doctors and the nurses, oh God, and all of those that are in the hospitals working, Lord God. God, we pray for those that have coronavirus, Lord God, that you raise them up right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Because your word says you call those things that be not as though they were. And God, we thank you for a word on tonight, Lord God. We thank you for understanding your word, because you said that you will open up the eyes of our understanding, and with all thy getting, get an understanding. And I thank you that we are able to understand your word, oh God, that we can walk in victory, Lord, and live victorious life in you. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen, and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you so much. I had two sisters in Christ, Shirley Earls, open up with a prayer. And Minister Mackey, Minister Shirley Earls, open up with prayer. And Illyria Mackey is closing us out with prayer. I'm going to tell y'all, it's good to have Christian friends. Somebody that can help you along the way. I thank God for them. I thank God for each and every one of you on the line. I have Minister Paula Cloud on the line too, my sister. And I thank God for each and every one of you. Caller, your number is 504-237. Your mic is open. 6-3.
I just wanted to give the scripture that you that God gave you, Minister Diane, and that he opened your mouth and mind and to receive, and it's 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father,
yeah,
but is of the world.
Yeah, it came back to me.
Yeah, he brought it back because he said he'll bring all things back,
yeah,
to our remembrance. He has to do what he said.
And look at Satan.
Yeah,
I couldn't even let her say it. And then I got a little head. I said, y'all hold on. It's going to come, and I'm going to tell y'all when it comes.
It's coming back.
Glory,
yeah,
be to,
yeah,
glory be to God.
Yeah. Thank you again for everything.
Thank you so much, Minister Shirley, for being my friend for so long.
I love you. I love you back.
All right, my sister. Anyone else? Well, if that's it for tonight, if God allows us, we'll be back next week. Same time, same station. I pray that God keep each and every one of you safely in his arms until we meet again. I pray that God bless you with the blessing that you're in need of. Not just you, but your children and your children's children. I pray that God feel a fence around you, that corona, or brutality, or injustice. We're going to get some of it, but don't let it be where we can't bear it. Be around you, dear God. I thank you, dear God, for everything. And I thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you promised to do in all of our lives. I thank you, dear God. I thank you in the mighty name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen, and thank God. And y'all know I love to say 2 Peter 3:18. I'm asking y'all as y'all go tonight to please grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good night, everybody. And I want y'all to know that God loves you, and so do I. And there is nothing that you can do about it. Good night. Be strong in the Lord.